I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Your Jordan Hare Stadium time is 9:15 p.m. My name is Ryan Starrett, on Twitter at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for starting to check out, honestly. Probably not what you want to hear from your host tonight, but it's the truth. So, to one side of me, a man who laughed in the face of the flu last week and just kept on hating. It's Chief.
It's pronounced Jordan.
And to the other side of me, the best golfer West Mississippi has seen in the last like 12 hours, probably. It's our buddy James Jones.
Well, you know, four birdies in a round is what we're going to focus on.
That is what the scorecard that had your name on it said, right?
That is correct.
No further questions.
Uh-huh. Were there bogeys involved later? Double bogeys involved later?
That's all we're going to focus on, Chief.
Okay. All right. Okay. No bogeys? Four birdies. I got you.
Yep. Well, we are not going to focus on what happened in Oxford, Mississippi last weekend. There's just no real point. I mean, unless you guys have any, just strong opinions ready to go, I'm ready to just put that in the rearview mirror.
I love Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter.
Yeah. Sure.
The line played okay, I thought.
Yeah, we ran the ball fine. It's, yeah. Anyways, I want to talk about the program that might be poised to become the best program on campus, best team on campus, and that would be the gymnastics team. Big week in recruiting. I mean, obviously, you know, you've got the all-around gold medalist on campus. It never hurts, right? Program went to the Final Four last year. It's pretty good. But in the last week, three four-stars committed on top of another five-star and a three-star already in the 2024 class. So that 2024 class, you said it's five deep right now. Five-star Olivia Ahern from Memphis. Four-star Caitlin Jong from Allen, Texas. Shout out, Crow. Four-star Marissa Neal from Blue Springs, Missouri. Another four-star Sophia Bell, also from Blue Springs, Missouri. Assuming they're friends coming together. And then three-star Anna Flynn Cashin. Said three of those commits, the three four-stars actually, all were in the last week. I don't know what spurned that, but, you know, it's good to see. That 2024 recruiting class is certainly better than what we have in for the football program. Well, I can leave it at that, I think. But that also gives us a five-star in four straight classes with SUNY Lee being the first one. Olivia Graves, who's going to be a freshman this year. Julianne Huff, who is going to be a freshman next year. And then Olivia, who I mentioned already. Do you guys think there's any reason why this can't become the best program on campus? Say it's equestrian. I mean, you know,
I don't understand why it wouldn't be.
Are we going to become a gym
given school? Given the number of athletes that you bring in, that you compete with, you know, you talk about, we draw back to football with like a blue chip ratio. That's like a 90% to 80% blue chip ratio. So that's better than what like Alabama and Ohio State deal with football. So
yeah,
that's pretty absurd.
It was the best program on campus last year for sure. They made a Final Four. I don't think anybody else did that, did they?
Women's golf.
Women's golf. Yeah. Okay. The golf teams. All right. All right.
But from just from like a sustained success, I mean, this is setting up, you know, SUNY's back this year. Darren Goburn's back this year. My guess might be that they're both going to move on after this year. SUNY for the Olympics, Darren, because she's a, you know, COVID senior.
Yeah, she has to.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is kind of setting you up for the next cycle. I mean, several of these girls are, you know, competing this weekend for U.S. national team spots in the World Championships. Not to say they're all going to necessarily be Team USA participants, but this is just kind of stocking that potential Olympians.
Now you said Julianne Hough earlier. Is this a...
Yes, not the dancer.
Yeah, it's spelled, her last name
are we sure
different. Yes.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
But we do have so Marissa Neal and Sophia Bell, they're Blue Springs, Missouri is a suburb of Kansas City. So I'm fairly certain it's the first four stars out of a Kansas City suburb that Auburn has signed in any sport since Braden Smith.
Huh,
who was from Olathe, Kansas. It's complete other side. It's like a 45-minute probably drive.
Is that out near Lawrence?
But he would be between Lawrence and KC, yeah.
Okay. Well, start building that Missouri pipeline, kind of like Arkansas for basketball.
Sure.
For sure.
Like I said, this is the 2024 recruiting class, so they, you know, they've got a little bit of time before they're competing for Auburn, but I don't see any reason why this doesn't set Auburn up through the next Olympic cycle to be one of the premier programs in college gymnastics.
I'm not going to pretend to know how they determine the star ratings for these
students. Not even a little bit.
There is like one central recruiting, you know, like College Gym News, I think. And it's, I mean, they have state championships and nationals and these Team USA events and kind of stuff. So there's ways to see these girls at, you know, high profile events, but.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So some good news there. I think as fun as last season was for the gymnastics team, I think that's going to continue.
Yeah, I have tickets. Not sure if I'm going to be able to use them. So if anybody needs tickets, let me know.
You have to mention the podcast to be able to get them, though.
Yeah. Any of you Orange and True Anons want to go to a gym meet, hit me up on the old Twitter.com or text message, if Slack, whatever. I might can help you out. I'm gonna be pretty busy for the next few months, so
just so much Star Wars content. I mean,
you're
not gonna leave the house.
That's it.
I'll be watching Andor on repeat.
That's it. Now, that would have been when the first one came, I had a lot of extra time sitting around the house. This time, I'm not gonna have a lot of extra time. So.
All right, well, let's go on to another program we like to talk about right now, the Auburn basketball team. We are under 3 weeks from tip-off of the season, and maybe from the time you're hearing this, I think we'll be exactly 2 weeks from the scrimmage against UAH. We're going to have a deeper season preview, roster preview, all of that with Will next week. He's going to come on, and especially during the bye week. We'll have plenty of time to dig into that. Just to hit on a few things real quick, though. Alan Flanagan back with the team last week, practicing. No issues there. But, I mean, we're not going to really know what was going on. It's a family matter, but it sounds like whatever that is resolved. He's playing again. No further concerns there.
Related, Coach Flanagan is also back.
Yes. Yeah. They are family, so a family matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ranking started coming in this week as well. Number 15, the AP poll, which I think is the fourth highest SEC team, 13 in KenPom, which is the third highest SEC team, kind of about, you know, where we would have thought. I mean,
who's above us? I'm just going to guess, Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee,
looking at KenPom, cause that's what I have pulled up. Yeah. Kentucky preseason number one, Tennessee number 4.
Ooh, wow.
Arkansas 14 right behind us.
Yeah.
And that's kind of to be expected with the computer metric with as much turnover as they have. I mean, they have no returning production basically.
Yeah.
So that's all just recruiting talent and transfers for them.
Yeah.
Which they did a great job with.
Yeah. And you can't, you know, basketball is one of those where you only have to be hot at the end of the year. And if you have the talent, that's going to, you know, it's the Kentucky model, right? You know,
right.
You might drop a couple games early as these guys aren't to play together, but they're going to be tough as anybody at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I think that's Bruce's philosophy too. He is not necessarily upset, you know, if we lose a game early in the season to somebody right. that we probably would destroy in March yeah. if we're peaking in March.
But I mean, you say that, but we haven't really lost a non-con game to somebody we shouldn't lose to in I can't remember the last time.
Yeah, I think that would be his philosophy. It's just we just don't do it because we're that good.
I think Bruce schedules really well to know, hey, this team needs some easy W's or needs some challenges, you know, based off experience he's got. And it just kind of fits and works out well for us. I mean, obviously, there's been the non-con losses, you know, you lose to Gonzaga and Baylor, but yeah.
Those teams were pretty decent that year.
Yeah, nobody that we shouldn't have lost either. Further down to the SEC, you get, you said Arkansas at 14, Alabama at, let's see, 18. And that's really kind of the upper crust. The next one down is Florida. Okay. They're all the way down to 35. So, yeah, that top four or five teams is really going to be the contenders, I think, in the SEC. Just honest vibe check before the preseason hype kind of starts peaking in a week or two, because it still feels kind of off season right now, right?
Yeah.
Where do you guys feel about what you expect out of this team?
I just got to ask a quick question.
Yeah.
You good over there, James?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. My phone is about to die, so I'm going to make sure we're up.
I was wondering what was going on over there.
Son of a, you were digging through a treasure chest over there.
Sorry. Should have muted it. My
okay. As far as vibes go, you know, I feel pretty good. Why wouldn't I feel good?
Just question.
I am excited that I have confirmed tickets to two games this year, neither of which are going to be in Auburn Arena, but
hey,
we've got Holiday Hoops getting tickets. We've got tickets to the Bandy game in Nashville, which
will be fun.
Given how fast they sold out in six, the allotment that was given to the Greater Nashville Auburn Club sold out in 6 minutes. So
good.
I think you're going to see even more of things like that, and I think that crowd could be on the level of a 60-40 Auburn split.
It may end up looking like when Georgia plays games, football games in Atlanta at Georgia Tech, where it's, you know, 80% red black.
You know, football games that any of the Big Six play in
Nashville.
At Vandy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually how they turn out. So I'm excited for that. I just, you know, I want to see this team play. I think they're going to be very, very fun. I think they're going to be fun to watch. They were fun to watch in Israel.
I think
that's going to change.
Yeah. If I'm being objective, I mean, there's definitely some things that I like about this team, specifically the returning experience at guard. Bruce hasn't had his top two guards back since the Final Four season. And he hasn't had his top three guards back in his entire time at Auburn, actually. I mean, if you think about it, even as good a teams as we've had the last few years, it's been with a whole new set of guards every year, just about. So having Wendell back, having KD back, having Zep back, already kind of settled into their roles on this team, another year of experience, you know, they're they're not new to the SEC this year. I think that's going to be a strong point, whereas last year it was, I mean, pretty obviously the weak point, I think.
And I think I'm, you know, maybe I'm reading into some of the things that, that Ferger's written on the Observer, some of the things we've seen elsewhere. My two favorite players on this team are Dylan Cardwell and KD Johnson. And I think KD is going to be a better version of what he was at Georgia with the experience that he got last year. And if he is shooting as well as he shot at Georgia with the maniacal aspect of him last year, he is going to fully vault himself into my favorite basketball player of all time. I think in the heat of the moment, I think I put him ahead of Doc last year, and he's right there with Doc Robinson, but I think this year could vault him past.
When he goes 25-8-5 with 8 threes against Alabama this year, it's going to put him over, I think.
especially if it's a 4-point play to get us 100.
I'm going to need him to wear some baggier shorts if he's going to replace Doc on my list.
Well, that was the style. You know, I wish I could remember the point guard that Ole Miss had back then, but the guy was 5'7".
Yeah, dude.
And he wore shorts that went all the way down mid.
White skin with a high top fade, and he was all of 5 feet tall.
Yep, that was him.
Incredible.
Ryan, imagine if Josh Wallace wore shorts that would have fit Austin Wiley.
I forget that guy's name. He was there forever, too.
He was a 4-year starter.
Oh, man. Yeah. The style was something back then. I still don't care to wear shorts that don't hit my knees, but, you know, whatever. I'm not a high level athlete, so I don't have any say in what anybody's wearing. and I don't care what they wear. I'm just talking about myself here.
Not us guys out, thighs out kind of got you.
No, not me. That could also be because my legs are a mile long. So, you know, a little thighs way too much. Yeah, I'm excited for this team. I'm excited to see the new pieces. Excited to see Dylan and see if he can come on and come along and be a main player in this team. And like James pointed out, KD, I'd like to see how he is now that he's, you know, settled in. We've got setback. We've got Wendell back. You know, a lot of last year's fun was we had the best post player in the conference, offensively, I'd say, and defense. He's a great defender too. Now, of course, Shibwe is another animal altogether as far as rebounds and, doing a double double every single night, and like 20 and 20 is crazy. But, I think Walker was still definitely one of the best fives in the league and in basketball.
There's a reason one of them's on an NBA roster and one is back in the SEC this year.
Right.
Yeah. And that difference is their height. I mean, that 34 inches means a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's what she said. Jabari too. I mean, you know, that was a lot of, it'll be a long time before we see another player like that play for Auburn. I mean, most teams never see one like that play for their team. So, but this team's, you know, it's totally different the way it's going to be set up because of that, because those two guys are not gone. We're not built around those two players. I think it's a more balanced team. We'll see how well they can shoot. I'm not really putting a whole lot of into whatever's coming out of practice and all that stuff. I mean, talk about practice.
Had a game.
It's not a game.
I think there could be some games that we just there's one of those games where you just cannot throw it in the ocean. Sure. And
everybody has
goes a little awry. And you know, it could be something like Memphis, or you know, we play some tough teams. We play Memphis, yeah. USC, Washington.
There's one thing I know about Bruce though, is that this team's going to defend, and they're going to make it really, really hard on every team we play. And so that's just going to give us a chance to win no matter what, even if we can't drop one in the ocean.
I think this could be a team that gets hot on defense.
Yeah.
That just frustrates a team to no end and just keeps getting fast breaks and goes on. You know, and Chief, you're old enough to remember this. Ryan's not. What the 99 team would do is they would play tight with a team for some period of the first half, and then all of a sudden they would go on like a 19-2 run.
Yep.
Because all of a sudden defense would click and they would just run off a 19-2 run in 3 minutes, and all of a sudden a game that was a six, seven point game is now a blowout.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, half those points would be dunks. Like it was just, it was crazy. I would love it if this team just, so what if they can't shoot threes, if they just get easy layups for, you know, 60 points a game and then score the rest through conventional offense.
That's what was missing last year, was a solid interior offense, especially for the guards. But
our transition wasn't working.
And that was due to having three new guards.
Yeah, like I mentioned. That's true.
So I think that gets cleaned up a lot and looks pretty good this year. Any other thoughts on basketball before we throw to commercial?
I'm just ready. I'm ready to see it. We're 20 days away as we record this, I think. So, ready to see that. People are already peacocking out there, I see, on Twitter today.
It's coming back.
New peacock pictures. Ryan is getting a LED peacock setup. Is that what I was seeing there?
Somebody shared that at Lowe's. I think it's a Christmas, like, out, like a yard light up thing already in store.
I don't know what peacocks have to do with Christmas, but
it lights up. That's about it. I mean, maybe it's a Halloween display. I don't know.
I think it's just a peacock display.
Any other thoughts, James?
Nope.
All
right. We'll go to
basketball.
Yeah.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back at 22 and a half minutes or so.
Hey, Ryan, we didn't start off the show talking about your tricky trees.
We got a point today. I did say we're talking about football here. So, yeah, Nottingham Forest did one of the most difficult things I have to imagine you can do in soccer, and that's not lose a game in which you don't put a shot on goal.
Everton's done that way more times than I would like.
Nottingham Forest going against Brighton today. Got outshot 19-3, 7-0 shots on goal. Just never had anything on offense, but got that 0-0 draw.
It's a 19 points, Ryan.
Half win 12.
Yeah, there you go. You need to think about not how many points you have, it's how many points you're away from 40.
Oh,
because no one is away from that. Chief, correct me if I'm wrong, but no one has ever gotten relegated if they're not 40.
I think that's right. And the last few years, you didn't even really need 40. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, Everton had 39 last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are Bo Jackson points away from it.
Well,
there you go.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah, if I look at the schedule, I believe it's Liverpool and Arsenal coming up.
It's tough.
Those are some easy wins on the schedule there.
Godspeed to you guys. Keep clean sheets against those teams.
Yeah, I hope you just absolutely destroy Liverpool. Please. As I hope for everyone in any
Yes, way. Exactly.
All right. Well, let's turn back to Auburn. All right. So Chief and I had a little bit of discussion earlier today on Twitter, and I want to kind of rehash it here.
Okay.
I think it was productive. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay out the facts of the Auburn athletic director coaching situation, a few rumors, things you might be able to infer that are not facts. And then we're going to kind of talk about what that means and, what the go forward is from that. So facts. Auburn has not fired Brian Harsin as of this recording. Auburn has not hired an athletic director as of this recording. Rich McGlynn, the interim, is a candidate for the AD spot. John Hartwell, the AD at Utah State, is also a candidate for that spot. And anyone who is telling you that any head coach, currently employed or not, is a leading candidate for the head coaching job at Auburn is lying or just a puppet for someone else, whether that's an agent, another coach, a booster, whoever. There is no leading candidate at this point because there's no AD.
I would have put that under, not under inferences, rumors, somewhere in between.
No. Okay. But here's what makes it a fact. I'm not saying there are no candidates.
Sure.
For the coaching job. I'm saying that there is no leading candidate. If someone tomorrow says, the favorite for the Auburn job.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there's no favorites.
Yeah. All right. So those are the facts. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Rumors and inferences. President Chris Roberts is running this transition by a plan he may have set when he got hired before the season, somewhere in there. And he's not wavering on it. That's might be why you're not seeing any action. Even though people are getting a little antsy at this point. We'll talk about that. Talk about it later. Auburn, and I put that in quotes, Auburn as an entity, wants the new athletic director to fire Harsin, and they don't want the interim, Rich McGlynn, to do that. I think if it was Rich's job to fire Harsin, it would have already happened.
Yep.
And the reason we haven't seen that is because there is no new athletic director. Again, not a fact, just kind of what you can infer by looking at the situation. And the last thing, Auburn doesn't want to look like Auburn.
Yeah.
I've heard that a few different places. And essentially, it's Auburn has a reputation of being crazy, jumping a gun, quick trigger finger about firing coaches. And they're doing their due diligence to not.
Even though it's not really true.
I understand.
It's a perception thing. Yeah. That is 100% perception. Yes.
Right.
Perception is often reality, and I honestly think what got a lot of people in line was when Brent Venables took the Oklahoma job and talked about the reason he's not at Auburn right now.
Yeah.
Whether you know, whether he was a leading candidate or whether he really wanted the job or not.
I believe alignment was the word.
Alignment.
Yeah. Something his defense does not currently have.
Yeah. Well, when you employ Ted Lee as your defensive coordinator, alignment is going to be a problem.
Now, I don't think that that we would be worse off than we are now, or that we wouldn't be better off. But I do think we've dodged a bullet there. I know he seemed like an obvious good hire, and I don't. The guy hired Ted Roof, so.
You know, I would almost agree with that if Harsin didn't hire Mike Bobo.
No. I don't. Like I said, like I'm not saying
the same thing to me.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we would be better off, or wouldn't be a little better off. It's sure. Just long term. I just that guy's not going to work out. I don't think. But
the best thing we can say with Brian Harsin right now is that he has aggressively sped up the firing process.
Yeah, man.
He's not dragging it out. We'll give him that.
Yeah.
And you know what? That'll be the first positive thing I've said about him in about 12 calendar months. Is he didn't fart around.
Yeah.
Decide, oh, I'm just going to be mediocre at this job. Right, just going to be just absolutely terrible at my job, at every aspect of my job.
And I'll say this, as far as anyone that wants us, that wants to be like, oh, well, we're the new Tennessee. No,
I'll take it. I don't know.
Well, yeah, right now. their guys did not make it this easy to move on. So,
no.
We're doing all right. Yeah, I think I guess we can go one by one on these. The president, Chris Roberts, having a plan. I think that's probably true. I don't think it's a. I wouldn't want to say he said I'm going to do this by this date. I think it's just this is the way we're going to do this. It's more of a overarching plan. I don't think he's set a deadline for at the beginning of the season. Set a deadline necessarily set in stone for things, right. But I as far as having a plan, I think he. Just from the outside looking in, it appears they're. This goes with that last point of Auburn not wanting to look like Auburn in quotes, and trying to look organized, trying to look like the adults in the room are in charge, the people that are supposed to be in charge are in charge. I think you can take how quiet the AD search has been. There hasn't been a bunch of rumors about that until pretty recently. And to me, it seems most of those rumors are coming from the other end of the rumor, not the Auburn end of the rumor. If that makes sense. So I've been encouraged by what's going on.
Absolutely.
The only thing that is not encouraging is that it appears that interviews did not happen until the last week or so for AD, and that's a criticism I have of what's happened here. I think everybody knew that Alan Green was not going to be here past this year, probably past when I think they did the really dumb thing that happens in all business now. Doesn't matter what level of business. Doesn't matter if you're working in a retail store or in the boardroom of a Fortune 500 company. They wait for people to quit instead of or find new opportunities instead of just getting rid of them because it's easier to do. There's no lawsuits involved when you do that. There's no
you don't
mutual
have to pay
parting
severance.
Of ways.
Yeah, you don't have to pay severance. And I think that happened here for a number of reasons. I think some it's hard not to blame them. I think some people will probably be angry about it, but I think he should have been let go in June, right after Roberts took over. You know, give Roberts a month to look at the situation. It was pretty obvious that things were not right in the athletic department. And we shouldn't have drug our feet. We should have just paid the guy's money, told him to go, took whatever PR hit that did, and then hired someone knowing that what happened at the end of last year in football, knowing how that hire was made, knowing everything that's gone on with this head coaching job, we should have had a better plan in place to get rid of the AD, hire a new AD to make all these decisions early on in this season, rather than, okay, now we fired him right before, what was it, a week before the season started?
It was the week of the season starting, yeah.
So we part ways with our AD then. Literally, we're not even... you know, a month into the academic calendar, you've fired the guy, and you've got to look for another one, all of whom have other jobs during football season, which is anyone you'd want to hire would need to have experience running a school that takes football seriously. So it just seems like a really bad time to hire someone. I guess if you're Auburn, you think, well, we're Auburn, we should be able to hire someone anyway. Whatever, that's fine. But then you drag your feet. I mean, Georgia Tech fired their entire like football staff and AD and everybody, and then they've managed to hire someone since we last did, and we didn't. So that part's concerning.
And won their last two football games too.
Well, I think yeah. They had a better staff on that football team.
Yeah. I wish we could have played Pitt and Duke too.
Yeah, right.
That's a reigning ACC champion, Pitt.
But anyway,
Pitt played Penn State a lot better than we did. Okay.
I love Pitt as much as anyone on this podcast. I own two pieces of Pitt paraphernalia from homefieldapparel.com. It's still Pitt.
Yeah, it's still Pitt. All that is to say, That part of this is perplexing. The quietness of it, though, has been good to see. I think it would have been a worse sign if we had fired Harsin 2 weeks ago or whenever than this. I can tell you right now, the people that pay his salary don't want him here. Mm-hmm. So they want him gone as early as possible. So for him to not be gone shows a level of restraint that I think is a good sign and should be taken as a good sign. No matter how much you, me, whoever thinks this is over, we need to go ahead and end it now. It's going to end down the road. Why drag it out? I get all that. It's just that I, having followed Auburn for so long and all the crazy stuff that's happened, Jet Gay, the booster going rogue and giving Gus a huge contract with a huge buyout, the supposed coup that happened, all that stuff, the fact that those people have been restrained in any way in this case is a good sign.
Yeah. So it's not that I've never been more proud of Auburn for not screwing this up to this point, knocking on wood. It's that I'm just proud of Auburn for taking a step back, and there is someone, I don't know who, but right. Someone has got everyone in line.
Yeah.
And we started this off by talking about alignment. If you want to talk about something we're aligned on, it's that we are aligned on firing this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nobody is, you know, somebody, and I know what the price of lumber was because I built a house 2 years ago. Nobody's stroking a check to say, look, fire him now. Here's 15 minutes. Here, we owe him 50% within 60 days. here is $7.5 million, fire him now.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. We are taking a step back and we're saying, look, we know this is an untenable situation, but we need to, we know we screwed it up last time and we probably screwed up Gus a little bit too.
Yeah.
If we can line up behind getting rid of this guy, getting our new athletic director, getting rid of Harsin, getting the new guy, and then lining up NIL, there is no reason we can't compete in 2 years. Now, it's going to take 2 years because you see what's going off of this roster and what's coming. There's literally almost nothing coming in right now.
Yeah.
2023, maybe.
There are examples in the SEC right now, though, of year two with transfer portal. You can be successful.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I mean,
for sure.
Two undefeated teams right now, Ole Miss and Tennessee, are year two.
Absolutely.
Kiffin's longer
year,
2 years.
Year two has always been a good benchmark. And it's before transfers were a thing, it's before NIL. Tommy Tuberville won the West in year two.
Yep.
Mark Richt won the entire conference. And if it hadn't been for losing the cocktail party, would have been undefeated in year two. Nick Saban was undefeated going into Atlanta in year two.
We have to talk about the most famous year two on the Plains.
Yeah, national championship in year
two. And yeah, Gene.
That one wasn't really a bellwether for what was to come. But
actually, I think it is, isn't it? It's the transfer portal.
Because you can literally turn around a roster that fast, and that was before transfers existed. Now
we got that one transfer.
Somebody had been recruiting on the offensive line before then.
Yeah.
But this is possible. You get behind, you know, I like this, and Ryan probably does too, that there's an engineer sitting in the president's chair and he's got a plan in front of him. And he's working every step of that plan.
Yeah. I think that may also be part of our problem in that why it's taking so long to hire an AD.
Just sit back and let us work the problem.
Risk averse. I think he's a,
so this is a good segue for, I guess, the last question here and what you and I were kind of debating earlier today, Chief.
Yeah.
Everybody's feeling antsy right now with Harsin not being fired. We've already hit on that. What, if any, benefit do you think there is from firing him in season, whether that's next week, middle of November, before Western Kentucky, whenever, versus doing it post-Iron Bowl?
I think in seasons past, you could get away with doing it like, okay, you lost the Iron Bowl. Sunday he's fired, then we start looking for a new coach. But that cuts, you know, at least a week of organizing to recruit for the home stretch. I just don't think that you wait till then. With Chizik and Tuberville both, I mean, people had the same kind of angst with them. And I at the time I was just like, no, just there's no point in firing. There was no portal then. Signing day wasn't until February then. You know, it was a whole different thing. And a lot of the people that really pushed for midseason firings back then seemed to come from a professional sports mindset, in that, well, you can just hire another guy and win football games right away. And that's not the case. And that's still not the case here. Like, we're not, dear God, I hope we're not going to hire somebody midseason, because the people that we could hire midseason are not people I want anywhere near.
We're not going to do the candidates list thing yet, but there is one.
Yeah.
It's Matt Rule, which my two co-hosts here.
He is available.
For a reason. He's available for a reason. He's never
hold off on a 10-minute rant about how terrible
anyone out there, that thinks Matt Rule is a good idea. He never beat a ranked team as a college football head coach. That's all you need to know. Stay away. I think he will be fired before the end of the season. I think it's going to happen. I think it's only a matter of time before the players are just done. Like it, the players didn't quit in 2008, the defense specifically, until about halfway through that Iron Bowl. And then it was just like, they couldn't do any more to keep that team afloat. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I just have to think it'll happen. They're just going to get worn out. You had a defensive lineman that played almost every single snap of an 89 play.
Five defensive linemen played last week.
I mean, it's just not – people are going to get hurt too. I think a lot of people are like you said, got a lot of angst. Why didn't we fire him yesterday? Or why didn't we fire him last week? And I think some of that angst and comes from, they just think we're not going to fire him. I know there's got to be people that are just afraid he's going to win enough games to keep from getting fired.
I don't think it's possible.
I don't think that's possible.
We went out. I don't think he gets retained.
I just think there's a lot of space between fired yesterday and fired after the Iron Bowl. I think a timeline that I could very well see being played out. We could possibly have an AD by next week, the end of next week. Maybe we beat Arkansas. I don't see it, but maybe. I'm not impressed.
Like a 50 burger in Provo, so.
Yeah.
I don't know that I see another win on the schedule, and maybe it's.
Yeah. I see. Maybe he loses that game and maybe he still survives. I think you can. What would make a lot of sense to me right now is getting to past state. He loses to Arkansas. He loses to state. I think part of that is also, I think there's a lot of people that need to. There's more people than you would like to think that need to see him lose to those teams to finally admit that this isn't working and it's not the booster's fault.
Selfishly, the thing I don't want the most in this is for this to drag out into basketball season. I don't want those. Well, I don't want those mixing.
I think it might happen. I think that a likely scenario here. I mean, unless the aforementioned, we get blown out at home, or the players just have, obviously they can't do it anymore for this guy. I don't even want to call it quitting. It's just, it would be hard to keep putting in the effort and losing games all the time. Where you fire him after State, Arkansas, A&M, and let Zach or whoever's the interim face Western Kentucky, and maybe, you get a little bounce there and you can avoid losing to Western Kentucky, and then you play Alabama. That's a wash anyway. It's away. Whatever. That's just a whatever thing. You're
talking about the football game we're playing on St. Louis basketball weekend. Is that?
Yes, that one. that gives you 2 weeks to, everybody knows you're looking for a football coach. You can put out official feelers to whoever you want. You can even interview some people, especially coordinators.
Sort of. It's, yeah, coordinators, yes. It's tough for sitting head coaches to get an interview in.
Yeah, I mean, you could still do it, but, they have to be a little sneakier about it. But if Auburn, that goes back to, Auburn has shown that they've been quiet. And if they show that, then that will give agents trust. Also, you can do some Zoom interviews these days and nobody will know about them. So. I would not be surprised to see that happen, like initial interviews. We wouldn't see it happen, but
by the way, Zoom interviews suck.
Oh yeah,
they're terrible.
Even Zoom, like meet your new employers, stink too. But it gives you time to assess. And if anything, I think we've seen that Chris Roberts needs time. Now, he wouldn't be the one doing the hiring. He has to sign off on it. So I can see a world where the AD moves swiftly, a new AD moves swiftly. I don't think he needs more evidence. I mean, if he's taking the job, I assume that he has been able to gather that we have not been performing well for the last not quite 12 months yet, but, you know, almost. I guess it is thereabout. It's about October is when we hit this kid, right?
Yeah, you've come
in. The Ole Miss game was Halloween weekend, so.
Yeah.
You come in and you hit him with the two bobs. What would you say is what you should do here?
Yeah. Well, I take the reports from the engineers. Anyway.
I take the game plans from the coordinators.
Yeah.
And I give them to the players.
Yes. Oh, man. I'm a people person. Ryan, Office Space is a movie by the great Mike Judge of Beavis and Butthead fame, or King of the Hill, maybe is one. All right.
I'm a propane accessories man myself.
Yeah, that you are. That's what I think the benefit, I think that was the question you asked, of firing during the season is it gives you, especially if it's, you know, the last few games, it gives you, gives the players maybe a chance to have some morale boosted a little bit and maybe get an easy win.
It doesn't matter who it's against. If we see Auburn head coach Zach Etheridge or Auburn head coach Carnell Williams win a football game,
Will Friend or whoever,
less so there. I mean, specifically a former football player.
I think
a win against anybody is a good thing for the program.
Yeah.
Yeah. An Auburn man has not won a game as a head coach since the 70s.
Yeah. Wow. So. Yeah. I think that's also a reason you don't wait. That's a reason he has not been fired yet. I don't mean this again. I don't mean to put down anybody.
You don't want to throw them under the bus.
I don't think there's anyone on this staff capable of running a football team. And say what you will about Brian Harsin and the things that he's done and his shortcomings as Auburn's head coach. I think he does know how to day-to-day run a football program. It's just it's not very well.
He just not does this not football know how program. To run a program in the SEC.
Right.
The Peter principle says we all rise to the point of our incompetence, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Gene Chizik did it. He did it while also reaching the pinnacle of his profession, but he rose to the point of his incompetence.
And then his incompetence dropped quite far because he's not doing so hot as a defensive coordinator right now.
Well, yeah.
Because is he still trying to run Tampa things, too up there?
Things happen when you go to Carolina.
Yeah,
Brian Harsin thought that he could do this job. And I don't blame him for thinking that he could do this job. But he thought he could brute football man just coach his way out of this thing. And it doesn't work that way. He didn't. Yeah. He was like, well, I've coached in Arkansas before. I know what it's like in the South. And I've coached in Texas before. I know what it's like. No, you don't.
I think he could have done this job 15 years ago or 20 years
ago. He could have done this job around like if you plant Brian Harsin instead of Tommy Tuberville in 1999 when there is no Nick Saban, when it's Mike Dubose on the other side of the state from you, Brian Harsin could have done this job. When it's, that wasn't Goff. It was the guy, it was Jim Donnan. When Jim Donnan is the coach at Georgia, when Jerry DiNardo is the coach at LSU, yes, you can do this job.
Yeah, I think I think that's the issue with why he hasn't been fired, though, is that we don't have anyone that could clearly be a steady hand here. And you don't want to give Zach Etheridge the interim title and then have him just eat a bunch of losses. Like, why would you do that? Why don't you make the guy making that you have to pay anyway, sink or swim here, and then, you know, throw Zach a bone at the end of the year, or Carnell, or whoever it's going to be. And, you know, then you're not hurting them. The worst they could be is 0-2 as a head coach if you do that, or 0-3, or whatever it is there at the end of the season.
And it could be that they have that they've talked to Zach and have said, hey, if we fire him tomorrow,
yeah,
do you want to take the job and for the rest of the year? And he's like, I really don't. And Zach probably knows that nobody's
going
to look at this situation and judge him by it.
Right. But you still don't want to be 0-6 or 0-5 as a head coach on your Wikipedia page.
Right. Exactly. And that's, and honestly, that's probably what it is that it's, I don't want to get stuck with that many losses. But if somebody looks up and saw I beat Western Kentucky and I lost to Alabama, well, you know, hey, plenty of coaches that are much more accomplished at this point than Zach Etheridge have lost to Alabama before.
Yeah, and I think there's situations on teams where, you know, you can look at it and say, well, we got to fire this coach because this team's not playing for him. They're plenty talented enough. They're underperforming. I think this team is underperforming, but I don't think it's to a degree where you could expect just a ton more with without bringing in a whole new staff, or mostly new staff to coach them. And, you know, that has to be in consideration by everyone involved. Way above my pay grade here. I mean, just based on the behavior, I guess you could take all this in a bad way. You could say Auburn's just being dilly dallying. I'm sure some people think it's about money. I don't think this is about money at all. I think we've got the money to pay this guy, and we got the money for the next coach. There's no worries there. I do think back to one of our inferences. You can infer pretty heavily that Rich McGlynn, and this is what your interim AD should be. He's a guy just there to steer the ship, just keep a hand on the wheel. And I mean, if something got real crazy, then he could make you let him fire him. But that also goes back to appearances. Like if Rich McGlynn, the guy that's been in Auburn forever, were to have fired Harsin after losing to Georgia, a superior team, then it looks like he just finished the job that they started back in February or whatever. That would be the narrative. And I think that's what they want to avoid. In the beginning, I thought, oh yeah, you let the interim AD fire him, and then he just, you know, then you can wash your hands, you bring the new AD in. But it makes more sense to me not to do that from an external or from a PR perspective, because you don't want that guy just to be seen as the hatchet man that did the dirty work for your shady boosters or whatever. And I know that might seem. Like, what's the difference between that and the AD that you just hire? Well, the AD that you just hired went through an interview process. The president of the university has approved him. The board of trustees has approved him. It's different. It's just a different thing. And I guarantee you, Harsin. Maybe guarantee strong. I just can bet. I would bet money that Harsin won't be fired even if he loses to Arkansas, unless it's by 50 points or whatever at home. I think that we have enough time, because the only thing, and I've said this for over a month now, the only thing we need to do is have a guy behind that podium. I've been saying December 1st. It essentially mean the same thing. Before the weekend of the SEC championship, you have to have a guy behind a podium as your coach.
Yeah. Agreed.
And that's the only goal. As long as we stick to that timeline and don't get behind it, we're fine. I'm not going to panic. It's tough. Because especially on Saturdays, the anger towards the guy coaching this football team, it boils up, and it can simmer all week. I get it.
At this point, it's disappointing because this team hasn't quit.
They
said at the top of the show, I've checked out, and this team hasn't. Power to him, and I hate it. After the LSU game, James was furious because they played so well.
Yeah, they played really hard.
And yeah,
the crowd was into it. Like there's nothing. I hate the rambling here. I don't want the narrative at any point to be this team quit, or that the fans quit. The fans have been toxic. The fans have supported the team. And I mean, there's not really there's nothing in that 80 something thousand stadium.
Nobody's getting booed pregame.
Nobody's getting booed. It's not. And I can tell you, it's 80-20 people. This fan base is 80-20. This is over. And that might be generous to Coach Harst. It might be more like 90-10 or 95-5. And I don't want the narrative to be that the boosters screwed this guy over. This guy screwed himself over before all that stuff in February happened. The reason it happened was because, yes, they did not want this guy to be hired, but they did eventually sign off on it. They paid his bills.
He was given every chance in the world to succeed. And
he did what he did for the last five games last year. And then he whiffed in the portal for early signing day. And then didn't have anything really lined up for regular signing day, which is actually not real signing day. Early signing day is real signing day now. So it was over then. And so that did not affect what we've seen on that. That's not why this has failed. This has failed because Brian Harsin was not capable of doing this job. That's it. I don't even know if he's a bad football coach. He was a good offensive coordinator, as far as I can tell. He had success. He was in the position he was in for a reason, but he was not capable of doing this job.
No.
Full stop.
I think that's a good spot to end.
Keep on cocking.